Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. When we all went home and we started living lives behind masks and screens, child advocates raised concerns that we would miss important mental, developmental, and behavioral health signals from kids. Early identification and intervention so often are really key to making therapeutic progress. So now we're starting, although just starting, to emerge from behind those masks and screens. And we want to talk with two specialists about how much we did miss and what we do about it now for our own kids and in our communities. Joining us, Dr. Eileen Costello is the Chief of Ambulatory Pediatrics at Boston Medical Center and Clinical Professor of Pediatrics at Boston University School of Medicine. And we have Dr. Andrea Spencer, a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist at Boston Medical Center and Assistant Professor of Psychiatry at the Boston University School of Medicine. Dr. Costello, welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
And Dr. Spencer, welcome to you too.
Thanks for having me.
So Dr. Costello, I'll start with you. Do we have reason to believe that we missed diagnosing some mental, developmental, and behavioral health issues in kids during the pandemic?
We certainly do, Tiziana. It's a grave concern of all primary care pediatricians. I can just tell you in the last couple of weeks, our clinic, so I am the medical director for a very busy primary care practice here in Boston that serves 14,000 kids. And, you know, we all know that people stayed away from hospitals and doctor's offices over the last year as much as they safely could because of anxieties about coronavirus. What that means for the very young child is that there were many fewer eyes on those kids, pediatrician eyes, daycare provider eyes, even family members. And so lots of families were feeling very isolated home with very young children because people were working from home, daycares were closed, preschools were closed. And so we did not have the eyes and ears on kids that we ordinarily do in the first couple of years of life. So certainly for the developmental problems that you referenced, that's when we pick things up, like autism, like speech and language delays, other developmental delays. And we are aware now as kids are trickling back in that we have indeed missed out on a lot of opportunities for early diagnosis.
Do we have any idea whether with data or anecdotally how big the order of magnitude is, how much we missed?
I think it's a really excellent question and a virtually impossible question to answer at this moment in time. I think over the coming months, we will probably have a better sense of that. But my impression, just as a primary care doc myself, is that it's pretty profound, that I'm starting to see kids in person again for the first time in a long time, and very concerned about some developmental issues. You know, the other thing that didn't happen very much over the pandemic was early intervention. A lot of it was virtual. Many parents felt like early intervention, which is a federally funded program that helps families promote the optimal development of their kids in the first 3 years of life, felt like, it's just not that useful over Zoom. I'm not going to try to do that. And so kids weren't necessarily getting the services that they deserve to foster their optimal development.
So let me turn to you now, Dr. Spencer. What are the implications of that? What's at risk here?
Yeah, I think that's also a very good question, because we, you know, in primary care, where I do a lot of my practice is helping primary care providers to actually identify these concerns as early as possible so that they can be treated earlier. And that's because we know that early intervention can prevent worse outcomes later on. So that means, you know, dysfunction and impairment as a result of a condition that's detected. So an example is ADHD. The sooner you intervene, the better the academic outcomes and the better the child's self-esteem and the better future outcomes. And you can prevent what we often call kind of secondary problems related to an early childhood condition like that develop if it's untreated, things like substance use disorders, depression. And so by missing these things, because, you know, fewer eyes on kids not coming into primary care offices, we're very concerned, you know, about both the short-term implications of kids not doing well as the long-term implications of the development of secondary issues as a result of not treating primary concerns and not detecting those concerns.
So let me stay with you for a second, Dr. Spencer. I can feel the collective blood pressure and anxiety of our parental listeners, you know, elevating as they hear this conversation. We must have missed things sometimes before, too, and there must be known strategies for what to do when the intervention or the identification comes later than we would like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing I would say is that primary care providers and other health providers are here and have been here throughout the pandemic. I think that screening is one way in primary care that we detected some of these things earlier on that didn't happen as much during the pandemic because people weren't coming in person, but can happen. And people who even still don't feel comfortable bringing unvaccinated children to the hospital can still, in most, probably all practices, schedule telehealth visits with their doctors and talk about any concerns that they have. And then the other thing to mention is that even if we've missed, you know, 6 months or a year, the sooner we identify something and understand what's going on, the better we can actually intervene and prevent more long-term concerns. So I would just urge everybody who has even a concern that you think is normal to talk to your child's primary care provider and connect. I'll also say that mental health care, we've actually provided a lot of mental health care by telehealth. It has in some ways actually increased access to treatment for some of our patients. So we've actually noticed that some of our patients in the pandemic have actually accessed more treatment by virtue of having access to telehealth. And we can be flexible, you know, throughout the country. I think mental health providers are now actually better at helping people access care because we're all now very facile with, you know, both in-person and telehealth treatment.
So Dr. Costello, let me turn back to you. Dr. Spencer mentioned depression a little bit ago. Then she was just talking about mental health care. You know, one of the questions I did want to ask you, we have heard, for example, we've had pediatricians who have called into our show talking mm-hmm. about increases in anxiety and depression mm-hmm. among children mm-hmm. during the mm-hmm. pandemic. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. It's a very large concern on the part of pediatricians across the country that, you know, keeping kids home for a year and not allowing them to have their social interactions, their activities that are part of their identity, their sports for physical fitness, their fresh air and sunshine, that all of those things have taken a very large toll on our patients and on kids across the country. We have, our nurses are just overwhelmed with phone calls from parents worried about their kids' mood, about suicidality. And we just feel like this is an urgent mental health crisis for our kids. I think for teenagers, especially, you know, being socializing with their peers is just a huge part of identity formation and of kind of wellness and, you know, good feeling about the world. And when kids are stuck at home and scrolling through social media and imagining that everyone else is having a wonderful time and they're the only one stuck at home, which of course is not true, I think we just have seen a massive upsurge in mood disorders and in kids just feeling kind of unglued and unhappy. And I'm so thrilled that the coronavirus vaccine has been approved for 12 to 15 year olds. So now kids, you know, 12 and up can get vaccinated, and that will give them the freedom that they need and deserve to get back to school, to get back to theater, to get back to singing in the choir or playing softball or whatever it is that they do that brings them joy and social interaction with their peers.
So I'm just going to take a second. You mentioned suicidality there, Dr. Mm-hmm. Costello. So just mm-hmm. for our listeners, if you mm-hmm. or someone you care about is contemplating self-harm or needs to speak with someone, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 1-800-273-8255. So now to both of you, we have a limited amount of time, so maybe a sentence from you each. I'll start with you, Dr. Spencer. How does a parent know if what they're seeing is a sort of quote-unquote normal response to the pandemic from a child or a warning sign?
Well, it's a great question, and I would say it's never wrong to talk to your child's pediatrician and reach out to your child's teachers as well, and pull in this community that is here to help your kids, even if it's a community that's been there virtually. It's never wrong to ask these questions and to have other people think together with you about whether your child is okay.
And Dr. Costello, last couple of sentences to you, just a note of reassurance to parents, maybe.
Yes, I think get out there with your friends and your community, see your child interact with other children, which they haven't been able to do for a very long time, and get a sense like, how does this look? And I think in the vast majority of cases, it's going to look okay, and that kids will recover because they're incredibly resilient. And I agree with Dr. Spencer. Talk to your pediatrician, talk to your neighbors and friends, talk to teachers. And of course, the vast majority of the time, the kids are going to be fine. We are just raising the alarm that if you have any concerns at all, reach out to a professional and get some advice.
Well, I appreciate this public service. That's Dr. Eileen Costello, Chief of Ambulatory Pediatrics at the Boston Medical Center and a clinical professor of pediatrics at Boston University School of Medicine. And Dr. Andrea Spencer, who's a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist at the Boston Medical Center and an assistant professor of psychiatry at the BU School of Medicine. Doctors, thanks to both of you.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. Thank you.